Powerful at Work Radio, episode 63.
Welcome to Powerful at Work Radio, the podcast for business owners like you who want to lead from a place of love and create a whole new kind of business environment. I'm your host, Rosa Ponce de Leon, and together we'll explore how you can secure your legacy and make a real difference by having a relationship with your team that honors the unique value each person brings to your organization. It is my goal to help you find your leadership sweet spot so your team is empowered to be more creative and efficient without all the burnout and people issues. I hope these conversations will inspire you to embrace a people-first approach, shift your mindset, and step into a healthy relationship with your team. If you're ready to do things differently, tune in and join the movement.
Herb Long is an executive coach who helps leaders to engage, inspire, and execute so they can navigate obstacles, see around corners, and get their team moving forward. As certified professional coach, Herb uses the coaching method that optimizes your strengths and abilities to create sustainable change. With over 25 years of experience, Herb has developed strategic alliances in Africa, Asia, and Europe, and served on the board of directors for public and private companies and nonprofit organizations. He has provided coaching services to executives, entrepreneurs, and professionals in financial services, logistics, and medical technology. All right, Herb Long, welcome to the show. I'm so happy that you're able to make it.
Thank you, Rosa. I'm happy to be here. Thank you for inviting me to your show.
Where are you tuning in from?
Today, I am tuning in from Washington, D.C.
Lucky you. Is it stormy? I've heard a lot of friends are having stormy weather out there.
Yeah, we may even have an opportunity to hear some thunder during this.
Wow. So it's true. Well, maybe that'll be a highlight. It'll be a first for the show. I welcome it, as long as you're safe, of course. All right. Well, let's get started. Tell us a little bit about your background.
So I am an executive coach. I help leaders and teams engage, inspire, and execute so that they can navigate obstacles, see around corners, and get moving forward in the right direction.
We're all about it, executing, inspiring, and all that you do. So let's jump in. You said prior to us recording that you've been doing some work with some people who struggle with imposter syndrome. What do you think is the source of that? Where does that come from?
I think a lot of it is based in confidence. Very frequently, if there's something that we haven't done for the first time, we have to perform for others, whether it's a client or teams that we lead internally, we feel as though perhaps we're not up to the task because it's something we haven't done before. And guess what? That's okay, because you don't become excellent at something before you've done it for the first time. So what I have often had the opportunity to discover with my clients is why they feel they should have a high level of confidence in doing something for the first time, and recognizing that it's not a unique feel, but that it is bad to live in that space and to stay in that space for periods of weeks, months, and in some instances, I have discovered even years. Surely once you become familiar with something and you've done it over and over, to still have that imposter syndrome is very troubling and can really wreak havoc on someone's career.
Yeah, it sounds like it becomes a mental block and even a habit. It's almost like you don't feel normal unless you have that syndrome. But I want to go back to the original point that you made, that it's okay. I remember the first time I heard the term, you don't know what you don't know.
Yes.
And I thought it was such a silly statement, but until you know what you don't know, you kind of forget how to be humble. And I almost look at imposter syndrome as a good thing if done correctly, in the sense of, you know what you don't know. Like, I know that I'm coming into this area and I don't know, and it's okay. That's how you phrase it.
I think it's absolutely okay to own that you don't know everything and you don't know how to do everything, especially if you've never done it before. One of the things that I always encourage leaders to do is ask for help when you need help, or be forthcoming when you say, I don't have the answer. Nobody knows everything.
Right.
And frequently you will find that many people at some point in their careers, they feel insecure.
Mm-hmm.
What leaders can do is show by example, you know what? I don't know everything either. And I can ask for help. And too often in our society, we view asking for help as a sign of weakness. In fact, it's a sign of strength, because what it shows is that nobody gets there on their own. We all know this intellectually, but we don't always practice this in our profession.
Right. I think one of the beauties of having a team is you can have that talent gap filled by people on the team. And as a leader, you're smart to choose amazing people that know more than you, so you can lean on them for that.
And I think that asking for help in that capacity of, I want to supervise people that know more than me, and I want to have those people just kicking butt. All I have to do is support them. That's a smart leader, is it not?
That is the smartest type of leader. It's always helpful to choose people who do have complementary skills, so that what may be your elevator may be someone else's basement. What may be your basement or your ground floor may be somewhere someone has elevated skills. And so you work together and you complement each other. But it's always good practice to be able to be forthcoming and to say, hey, I don't have the answer to this. I don't know how to do this. We have to find someone who can. And so it may be someone internally. It may be someone externally. And that's okay, too. I do find that in working with women and people of color, they do tend to stay in that space of imposter syndrome much more frequently and for longer periods of time than others. And so part of the challenge is getting them to recognize this isn't just happening for you. This happens for everyone. But staying in that space isn't helpful. It isn't necessary. It does nothing for you. And then we can work together to get beyond there.
Let's talk about that, because I grew up in a very diverse community. And I think that in a lot of ways, when you grow up in a low income place, you're used to maybe asking for resources and asking for things. And there comes a point where you have to kind of step out of that and go, I am the resource. I am the thought leader. Yes. I am the person who has lived a life and has something to offer and has value. And it becomes kind of harder to break past that ceiling only because you're so used to growing up in that environment. And I know for me, I experienced that. I had to get to a place where I don't need to be asking for the lesser price or the bargain, or it's like, you know what? I need to step up and own some wealth and be able to roll with anybody. And I think that has to start in that thought process. We have to kind of go back and go, where did it start? Because maybe today is just an opportunity to realize that it's there and I can work through it, but maybe I need to go back. Do you find that you have to do that with your clients?
Well, one thing we typically don't do in coaching is go back in someone's history and figure out how they got to where they are. That is more along the lines of therapy, which is something that really separates therapy from coaching. What I do is meet people where they are today and help them get to the next steps. We look at the present forward, not really at the present back to their history and what got them there.
So that's good advice then for someone who might want to reach back. They might have a coach and a therapist and work through complementary issues in order to really get the full benefit of the healing.
Very, very often coaches do recommend that if they're working with a client who is having some blockages, and it either the client verbalizes this or the coach has a deep sense that it's something in their history, they will in fact recommend that they work with a therapist. And there are many people who work with both a therapist and a coach. I have a therapist. I also have a coach, and I am a coach. So it's okay. I think we all benefit from having someone who can help us with our past to the present and our present to the future.
Totally.
I hope you're enjoying this episode of Powerful at Work Radio. I'm your host, Rosa Ponce de Leon. And if you're ready for more freedom from the day-to-day so you can properly rest, dream, and be more effective as a business owner, I want to invite you to our upcoming free training where I'm going to share my easy 5-part process for making sure your team feels truly seen and heard. For more details or to register for the training, visit rosaponcedeleon.com. Thank you for listening. If you haven't subscribed already, do yourself a favor and hit subscribe. Then head over to rosaponcedeleon.com where you'll find tons of resources for growing as a business owner so you can go all in on your team while they go all in on bringing your vision to life.
So let's talk about that then. So you get someone who has a habit of staying in the imposter syndrome space.
Yeah.
What is the first thing you do in order to get that breakthrough? They're there because they've identified it. So that's a big win.
Yes.
Now what?
Well, they've identified, sometimes it takes us a while to get to the understanding that they do have the imposter syndrome. And from there, we map out, what is it you want to accomplish? Mm-hmm. Where are you today? Where do you want to be tomorrow? And then the meat of the process is really working those intermediate steps in getting from being in that imposter syndrome to coming out of it and accomplishing their goal. And it's different for different people. There are some people who get those aha moments right away. There are some people who are very methodical, and it takes a number of sessions in order for them to get there. Frequently, though, if they are someone who has been in that space for a long time, I find typically it takes them longer to come out of that imposter syndrome.
Yeah, because it's become a habit. Do you find that the imposter syndrome permeates to other areas of life, or do you find that it's very situational, or maybe it's both?
Well, I think people tend to be much more comfortable, in my experience, in their personal lives. They know who they are. Of course, that ranges, you know, depending on their age and where they are in life. But it's really when they have to deal with others, when they're in a leadership position and all eyes and all attention are on them, is when they start to sort of feel like, wow, do I really know this? Can I really do this? Can I really handle this? Am I up for this challenge? That's when they really start questioning themselves the most, I find.
And it's lonely when you get to that space, yes, because I would imagine there's a little bit of shame or maybe some reservation about revealing that that's what they're feeling. I can't imagine that that's an easy thing to reveal.
I think it can be very difficult to reveal, again, because in our society, we're always talking about improving your weaknesses. And we see that, or we learn that asking for help, saying, I can't do this on my own, I need assistance, is a sign of weakness. In fact, it is a sign of strength, because all you're doing is admitting what the rest of us already know, but you're showing courage in putting it out there and asking for help.
And everyone has weaknesses. And let's transition into blind spots, because in the opening, you shared a little bit about navigating through things and executing and looking through blind corners. So let's talk about that.
Yes.
Would you say that there's a relationship between some of the imposter syndrome and maybe not being able to see the full picture?
I don't know that there's necessarily a relationship with that. I think there may be a relationship with imposter syndrome and not taking the necessary actions to see around those corners.
Got it. Yes.
In other words, they could get there if they were courageous enough to take the actions. And again, I go back to this, to ask for that help. But I don't think it comes necessarily from them not being capable of doing it.
Yes. And as I'm hearing you talk, what I'm thinking about is that imposter syndrome probably doesn't affect everybody, but blind spots, for sure, everybody has those. And I think we need to start from that place of knowing, if I'm not positioning people to see where I can't see, then I will always have those blind spots.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And again, not just asking for help, but letting others know that it's okay to ask for help as well. And helping them to be the best version of themselves within the organization or within the team. I think that's always helpful. And it's not just important to want to do that for other people, but it's very important to communicate that and then follow up that communication with action. And if you talk to people and you listen carefully, they will tell you what they need to perform and to be the best version of themselves in their profession.
Oh, completely. I can definitely attest to that, because people want to be heard and they want to be helped and they want to be appreciated. And they'll tell you everything you need to know if you just listen, like you said. How hard is it, do you think, for people to take action once they've heard it all? Because it can be very overwhelming for the leader that's sitting back and go, that's nice, I've never actually taken the time. That seems like just another thing to put on my plate. Why should they be motivated to do it?
Why should they be motivated to do it? Well, listen, again, the goal is to make them the best version of themselves. So there is the motivation. Now, even with that motivation, people work at different paces. People have different blind spots. Part of my job as a coach is to create awareness. And that can be a long process for some. It can be a quick process for others. So it's really individual, but it is important to create that awareness. And hopefully going through the coaching process as a leader, they will be able to help others in creating that awareness as well.
Absolutely. I think that a leader who takes the time to evolve and grow is a leader who's going to appreciate the growth that needs to happen in others, for sure. And is going to be able to help people navigate. You have to have your own barriers that you have to overcome. We all have them. We all have the blind spots that I mentioned. And when we rely on others to share what they see and we listen, so it's not just helping them grow, but also listening to their observations. Hey, Rosa, I think we need to try going in this direction with this. Yeah, that tells me I need to listen, because they see something I don't see. So I got to slow down and go, what do you have in mind? Tell me more. And maybe it's a raw idea. And rather than shoot it down, I help them develop that idea, because we want that better version of that.
Well, I think one important question that I always ask people, and I encourage them to ask this of others, is why. Sometimes people come with suggestions, and instead of hearing them out, or the leaders will say, no, without giving any reason, or not asking them, well, why? Why is this the best solution? Why is this right. the course of action that you think we should take? Why do you think we should turn left instead of turning right? I think it's always important as a leader to draw out what people are requesting of us and how they got there.
And it's just a perspective shift, because I may be looking at it from the 50-foot level, 100-foot, however far up, and they're in the trenches working. So our perspectives are totally different. But when we can help see each other's perspective, that's when the magic happens.
That's right.
And I think you're right. And I think you're right. The whole issue is, if I just shoot somebody down, there's no better way to kill their spirit and their right. innovation and their creativity. And we that's never right. want that.
And listen, you're not always going to agree, right? Sometimes people right. are, or frequently, in fact, people may come to you with an idea and it's not a workable idea for varying reasons. It's important to know that you are a sounding board, however. So it's good to have agreement. You're not always going to have it, but how do you approach it? That's what's right. important. What is your
that opinion? Relationship? No, that relationship is huge. And that communication piece is huge. Indeed. Because you're right. I think that, you know, you can always shelf an idea too, like put it on the shelf. It's just not the time now, but it is a great idea that we can grab down the line.
That's right.
So I think that's definitely important advice that we need to follow. So when you talk about executing now,
yes.
let's, you know, say there's the deadlines and the pressure. Where do we leave space for that humanity and those conversations? Because sometimes people will get stressed out under pressure, right?
Yeah. Yeah, sometimes. you find people who the pressure really gets to them, and then you find others who thrive under that pressure. Mm-hmm. And frequently, you will find those two different types of people on the same team. Some mm-hmm. fold, some soar. Leaders have to be able to bring those two together and work it out and move.
Yeah. On game day, know who needs to sit back yes. and not be the point and put the right people in the right positions at that
and
point.
Too frequently, people seek to have all of the information before they're ready to execute, before they're ready to make a decision. You're never going to have perfect information. And if you wait until you have most of the information that you'd like to have, you're probably going to be too late in making a decision. I think Jeff Bezos, in fact, is famous for saying, have 70% of the information that you need before you decide to move forward. Hey, that's as good a number as any, I suppose. But to have perfect information. And listen, again, as a leader, you have to show that confidence that this is what we have. It's time to engage. It's time to execute. You're not always going to be right. And that's okay.
Right. No, this speaks directly to imposter syndrome. And it's perfect because it's bringing us full circle. I think the leader that wants that perfect information is not going to be effective, because a hasty plan today is better than a perfect plan tomorrow. It's too Absolutely. Late tomorrow. So That's sometimes true. You do have to just work on the facts that you know today. And for the leader that finds security in that information, let that go. You don't Yep. need it.
That's right. Absolutely right.
Trust Yeah. your people. Trust that the information you have today, if you've trained your people and allowed them to share the information appropriately, and you're listening to them, then it's probably decent information that's been vetted. And if not, we'll find out and we'll correct whatever we need to correct.
If you have invested the resources into building that good team, allow that good team to perform, send them in the right direction, then get out of the way when they have to perform.
There you go. I think that's a perfect place to punctuate. Any final thoughts as we move in? I mean, you're worried about today and the future. So our workforce has experienced a lot of changes. We're Yes. looking at a different workforce quickly here. So any final thoughts for our audience that could get them to succeed?
Ask yourself why. Figure out your why. Why did you choose that career? Why are you on that path? Why are you on that team? Why are you on that organization? Mm-hmm. Why are you in that position? Figure out your why and what's going to bring mm-hmm. you joy. Very frequently, it's there. Sometimes we just forget. Sometimes it's in a completely different place. And again, that's okay too.
Yeah, just change direction. That's perfect.
That's right.
Well, thank you so much. How can we connect with you if we need to find other resources from you?
So I can be reached at my website, carterelliott.com. That's CarterElliott.com. I can be reached at Herb Long on LinkedIn.
Awesome. Well, we're going to connect and keep that relationship going. Thank you so much for everything.
Thank you so much, Rose. I enjoyed this.
Thanks for listening to Powerful at Work Radio. If you subscribe now, you're going to hear from some truly amazing guests who will help you shift into a new approach to leadership so you can develop a healthy relationship with your team and truly maximize your impact.
We'll explore stories from experts who are daring to do work differently, and we want to invite you to the conversation. So just hit that little subscribe button on your podcast app, and don't forget to leave us a review. We're excited to help you lead a high-performance team with simple advice that you can start using now for maximum results.